Hello, everybody, and welcome back to it. You are tuned into the Abide podcast with myself, Michelle Koleni, Pastor Mish in the streets, if you may. I'm so excited to be back to finish off the first part. Essentially, it's part two that I'm doing, but we had started this topic last week, Friday, you know, about being a faithful servant and talking from the book of Luke chapter 12, you know, and reading that parable that basically speaks about three types of servants: the faithful servant, the evil servant, and the ignorant servant, right? And I didn't finish the faithful servant, so I'm coming back to finish that off because some of you were like, you need to go deeper, you need to tell us what's going on. Last week I said a lot of things in the first episode, and if you didn't watch it, I think you need to just click up here and watch it so you have context, you know, because I think there were some valuable things in that first part that will also help in this part, right? So I don't want to waste too much time going back and forth. Let's go into today's session. So as you can see, I am rocking my Revere bucket hat. If you are interested in copying your own, if you also want to don your Revere bucket hat, do click on the link below, or I will put the graphic for you to, you know, banking details to find the necessary price list on our Instagram as well. So if you'd like to get one, do the absolute most. Getting back into what we were talking about and kind of trying to finish off this segment, this part about the faithful servant. This morning, I was going out, you know, to go do some work for Revere, just, you know, meeting up with my supplier, manufacturer, and stuff like that. And my son does this thing, right? We were coming out the door, and he had a toy in his hand. He can now come out the door by himself, but our door has a little bit of a step. So he is very scared to fall over that step. So what he does is he will hold on to the door and then cross over. But this time around, I was waiting for him on the other side, and he had a toy in one hand, and his one hand was free. And I said, come, let's go. Enzo took that toy, looked at it, dropped it. Why? So that he could cross over, because he realized he needed both hands. Oh, come on. He realized he needed both hands to be able to successfully cross over the door and get to his mother. Are you hearing? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. When my son dropped his toy so that he could have both hands free, so he could cross the threshold of our door, this scripture came alive to me, because what Enzo displayed in that moment was that he was casting away every weight and everything that trapped and ensnared him and that hindered him from crossing over and coming to his mother. He dropped it. He didn't care if it broke. He just dropped the toy. He doesn't care, right? He dropped the toy, and when he dropped the toy, his hands were free, so he could hold on to the sides of the door and cross over. Why am I sharing that with you? This is so pivotal if we want to be faithful servants. The Bible says, Hebrews 12, go back to it. If you are going to run this race with endurance, if you're going to run this race well, if you're going to do everything God has called you to do, if you're going to live the life that God has called you to live, you need to lay aside every weight. I think I spoke about this in the previous video as well, in the previous episode. We need to lay aside anything that forms itself as a hindrance against our obedience to God. Right? A faithful servant is readily available to obey. A faithful servant is not going to tell the master, you know what, I can't do what you're asking me to do right now because it's inconvenient. I can't do what you're asking me to do right now because it puts me, you know, in a place to be vulnerable. I can't do what you're asking me to do right now, God, because it's not giving. No. A faithful servant says, okay, Father, if this is what you want me to do, I'm going to do it. I will lay aside every other thing that hinders me from doing what you're calling me to do instead, right? So that is what I wanted to continue on today. You know, my tablet for some reason is malfunctioning, so I'll have to revert to my phone. Please do not mind. I am not texting. I'm genuinely just looking at my notes for today's episode. Now, we spoke about last week, you know, believers being carnal and being worldly. And as I continue today, my biggest thing is I want to show you how to be a faithful servant, what it means to be a faithful servant, what it looks like to be a faithful servant, now knowing that it is our responsibility to cast off everything that hinders us from moving forward. Okay, this, when we read scripture, sometimes we think up in the air, we put our heads in the clouds and we become spiritual. But the word of God is so practical. The word of God is literally saying, Mamela, in order for you to be able to be a faithful servant to me, in order for you to be able to be obedient, in order for you to reach the milestones and the destiny that I've set up for you, something is required of you too. You're going to have to let go of certain things. The problem is, we want to hold on to things of the past, even though we are new creatures in Christ. The Bible says in the Gospels that, you know, you cannot put new wine in old wineskins. And that's what we do as believers, right? We want to walk in the behaviors, in the attitudes, in the thought processes. You know, we want to do things the way we used to do them, but we're in a new season. We are in Christ. That doesn't work. We need to sacrifice. I said last week, we need to sacrifice sin. We need to sacrifice those things in order to be able to walk into the newness that God is calling us to. Okay? So let's get back into the scripture. Luke 12, you know, it says, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, he finds them watching. Blessed are the servants who the master comes and he finds them watching. What does this mean? Blessed are the servants, blessed are the believers who are ready. If you remember the parable of the 10 virgins, there were 5 foolish and there were 5 wise. Who were the ones who got to go with the bridegroom? It was the wise ones, the ones who were ready because their lamps always had oil. The foolish virgins were not ready for the bridegroom. When he came, they had no oil. So we need to then distinguish, are we wise or are we foolish in the eyes of the Lord? If God drops an assignment on us right now, are we ready to do what he's asking us to do? Or must we still deal with sin? Must we still deal with relationships we're not supposed to be in? Must we still deal with people we're not supposed to be associated with? Right? So there are things that we need to deal with. There are things that we need to deal with in order to position ourselves to be faithful servants, because there's a blessing that comes with being faithful. Just as there is a curse that comes with being disobedient. Hey, please don't allow yourself to be fooled by these worldly Christians. Please don't allow yourself to be like, do you know what I mean? By people who pretend to know God and pretend to have a relationship with him, but they are driving you straight to hell. People who will say that it's okay if you do this and that. It's not that deep. Please trust me, it is very deep. With God, there's no measurement of this is deep and this is not deep. To God, 1 + 1 = 2. There's no middle ground. Okay? Tina, we want to find loopholes to be able to please our flesh, but also be attached to God and be in relationship with God. It won't work. This verse shows us that Jesus is pleased when a servant or his believers are ready and waiting. Like you're so in tune with him. You're just like, God, I'm waiting for you to download upon me what it is you need me to do. The Bible says, when we read in the way to pray, the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? Matthew 6, where it speaks about your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is not that God is going to come again as Jesus Christ and walk on the earth to establish his kingdom on earth. He has placed us, his sons, on earth to establish whatever is happening in heaven. We need to establish it on earth. But how do we do that? We do that when we are faithful to sit at his feet. I say this again, to sit at his feet and download his heart to be able to then implement and impart on the earth. So we cannot be people who are going to bring the will of God and the kingdom of God to the earth if we are not positioned faithfully so. Right? I spoke last week about cheating, right? When you cheat, it breaks intimacy. When you cheat, I'm just trying to think, I've never been cheated on, so I don't know, but I'm just using common sense. If a husband or a wife cheats on their partner or on their spouse, it breaks the trust. It breaks the relationship, right? There is a gap now. The intimacy is no longer there, meaning that we are no longer vulnerable. We're no longer sharing things like we used to. We're no longer, you know, communing like we used to. There's no intimacy. Let's bring it back to us and God. When we cheat on God, when we are busy with idolatry, when we are busy idol worshiping, when we are putting things above God in our lives, we break intimacy. when we cheat on God, I'm saying this again because last week, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, go back to last week's episode. I spoke about cheating and looking at our relationship with God as a marriage. That when you are placing things in the position that God is supposed to be in your life, you're cheating on Him. He's supposed to be your first love. He's supposed to be your king. He's supposed to be you. Do you understand? Your bridegroom. But what we do is we place things above Him. We prioritize other things above Him, but we expect Him to prioritize us. Ah, God, we expect so much from God that we don't even want to do the bare minimum for Him. Right? But anyway, let me get back to what I was saying before I get sidetracked. You know how I can get. But anyway, what I'm getting to here is that if we are going to be people who bring the will of God to earth, that means that we are positioned faithfully. We are not wavering. We are not looking and cheating. We are not getting excited by that, this, and the other. The only thing that excites us is Jesus. We are so intimate. We are ready. We are waiting for a download. When God says this, we go. When God says don't do that, we stop. When God says I want you to go there, we go. When He says I don't want you to do that, you don't do that. Don't associate with that person. Associate with that one. Right? And we're not moved by the flesh and what we think is right. We are moved by Him, by His word and by His spirit. Okay? Now, here's a key. If you've ever heard of a concept called dominion, right? The Bible speaks here in Luke chapter 12 about how when the master finds these servants waiting for him, he will literally create a table for them and they will eat at his table. This is a picture of dominion. It's a picture of communion with the King of Kings, right? And you think back to Psalm 23 where David will say, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That speaks about dominion grace. It speaks about being in a position to rule. Right? So when we become faithful people, when we become faithful believers, when we stop wanting to be married to every other thing and just focus on our one true love that is Jesus Christ, we position ourselves to be seated at His table. And when you're seated at the table, you are in intimacy. When you're at the table, you're communing. If you read your New Testament, you read the Bible, you will see that every time Jesus sat at the table, He was sharing His body. He was sharing the blood. He was feasting with the people. And when He feasted with the people, He gave the word. He gave doctrine. So when we sit down, this is metaphoric. It's not necessarily sitting down physically. It's a posture of being settled in Christ. When we sit down and we abide, we create an environment for God to download. But you're not sitting down long enough. You want to move. You want to do. Let's come back. Jesus says that He will serve them and put them at His table. There is honor and there is reward reserved for a faithful servant. You wonder why certain believers are esteemed higher, why certain people can speak in a certain way, why certain people God opens the door. There is honor reserved for the faithful servant. God honors those who honor His word. So if you are in a position and you are doing the word of God, God has no choice but to honor you. He's not honoring you as a mere man. He's honoring the fact that you're doing His word. Right? God is no respecter of man. He respects only what He says. He respects Himself. He's not a man that He should lie. So if He said it must happen and you did your part, guess what? It's gonna happen. Oh, I receive that word, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're believing God for things, but we're believing God for things, but then we're not doing our part. The Bible is, if you read the promises that God gives, they are conditional. And this is the thing a lot of believers don't want to talk about. Because you think God is a fairy, God is a genie. He just rub the lamp 3 times, pray for a minute, read your verse a day, and voila, things are going to happen. No! If you read the Bible, go read Deuteronomy 28. The promises of God are conditional. It's you do your part, I'll do my part. Oh, we don't want to talk about that though because we think God is a genie. We think we must just ask and it must happen. But yes, you can ask. But if you're not living in a way that is conducive to receive and you're not adhering to your part of the covenant, why must God give you anything? Think about it this way. You said to someone, listen, even if it's a contract for work, hey, these are my deliverables, and if I deliver A, B, and C, you owe me X amount for my invoice. You're not going to go back to that person and be like, hey, where's my 10,000 rand for doing A, B, and C when you haven't done A, B, and C. But why do you have the audacity to go to God and be like, yo, God, I need this, I need that. Can you come through for me? I need a job. I need a hug. But your life, you're not doing what he's asking you to do. Guys, we need to stop being hyper-spiritual and practicalize the word of God. Make it practical. Does it make sense? Would you do for yourself what you're asking God to do for you? Just a thought. Now, let's come back. Misha, how do I know if I'm a faithful servant? What metrics do I use? Okay, I'm going to give you a couple of keys. Please be writing down. Number one, moral purity. You have morals. Oh, we live in a society that has no morals. Our society is next level. Like, sometimes, you know, you just look through social media and it's just like, what's going on, guys? You look on TV, what's going on? You watch a show, what's going on? Sometimes I even watch shows that are supposed to be for teenagers, 15, 16 year old, and I'm like, is this what we're telling the kids they should be doing? There's absolutely no moral purity in our society. Morality has depreciated, morality has degenerated, and we've made it okay. As a society now, the Bible speaks about how they will celebrate evil. We're celebrating unrighteousness. We're celebrating evil. We're making it look good to be in direct disobedience to God. We're clapping hands for people who are doing things that are in direct opposition of the word of God, and then we call ourselves Christians. How are you a faithful servant? You have moral purity. You demonstrate even accountability to God. Right? You're accountable to God because you're submitted to Him. Your life is no longer your own. So if God says, we don't do this, that, and the other, we don't have sex before marriage, even if you had sex before marriage and now you come to know God, you stop that immediately. And you pray and you repent and you listen. You pray for God to restore you, because the things that happen in those covenants and those ties that you create, and because you know when you have sex with someone, it's a covenant, right? Read the Bible. I don't know why I'm speaking about this, but sex is a covenant. That's why it was designed for man and woman in marriage. It was for man and woman in marriage. Covenant. So you go out there and you sleep with every single person that, because you know it's body autonomy, I'm a feminist, it's my body, I can do what I want. It's not your body. You cannot do what you want. This is God's body. It's not yours. He created it. He could take you out of it in a twinkle of an eye if he wanted. Like sometimes the things that we celebrate and the things that we affirm, and you see Christians also being on board with this. I know, I mean, it's your life, do what you want. It's not your life. We've spewed so much nonsense, we've started to believe it. It's your life, it's your body. Did you create yourself? Did you breathe life into your own body? Did you create a soul? Do you even know how to create a soul? Do you know how to knit a body in the womb? No, you don't. So how dare you say it's my body, I can do what I want. But we're neither here nor there. If you call yourself a Christian and you're not morally pure, that's all I'm going to say. You're not accountable to God. Listen, it's not about being accountable to Misha. It's not about being accountable to your accountability partners at church, though they're good to have, or your friends, but because you can lie to them. You can lie to man. I don't see you 24/7. But you can't lie to God. He sees all things. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. So when you think you're lying to me, you're lying to Him. You said, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, I'm not doing that. I'm morally accountable to God. But God sees that you're lying. But you know, if we are going to be faithful servants, we need to be serious about this thing. There is no casualty in being a believer in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, we've made it so casual. We've made it okay to be a part-time Christian. This is not a casual job. This is a permanent gig. If you sign this contract must be forever. Number two, I said number one, how do I know what are some of the characteristics of a believer? And there goes my phone, guys, died. And it's load shedding. I'm shooting this in the middle of load shedding. And all of my devices are literally just dying on me. Holy Spirit, I need you. Come through for a girl. Like, what's going on? Like, all of my devices done died. Let's see if I can be able to resurrect one of them. Because now the Wi-Fi is off. The UPS shut down. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Listen, I serve a living God. Thank you for rescuing me from that one, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Number two, how do I know I'm faithful? What are the characteristics of a faithful servant? We said number one, morally pure. Number two, I said earlier, in accountability to God, we don't sleep around. We don't steal, we don't gossip. We're conscious of the presence of God. Conscious of the presence of God. I'm not saying we're not going to make mistakes, but because we're human, but remember there's a scripture that says, as he is in heaven, so are we on earth. There's a scripture in, I think it's Matthew or John, where he says that, be ye holy because I am holy. So there's an expectation for holiness. Even though you're saying I'm human, God doesn't care. The Bible says, yes, he sympathizes with us because he's a high priest who sympathizes, and he has gone through the same temptations we went through, but he still expects you to strive to be better. He doesn't expect you to do nonsense and then say, no, but you understand, God, I'm not perfect. No, he doesn't make that contingency in the Bible. He says, be ye perfect, for I, your Father, am perfect. So we have a requirement. God has an expectation on our heads that we are striving for perfection. Perfection being maturity. Perfection being holiness. Okay? So we are conscious of the presence of God. How do I know I'm faithful? Number three, people who are faithful to God work for God. We serve God, right? So the beauty of being a believer is that once we come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, he takes us out of the kingdom of darkness, yes, but then he doesn't leave us hanging in the air in limbo. He places you in the kingdom of light. And when he's placed you in the kingdom of light, chances are he's placed you in a church home. He's placed you in a family. That is the model of God, it is family. He places you in a family where you are going to have siblings, where you're going to have brothers and sisters in Christ, where you're going to have a mother and a father in the spirit. Some it may just be a father, some it may just be a mother, but you have spiritual parenthood, spiritual covering, and then you have siblings within the church. When God plants you there, that is where he expects you to serve, right? You serve your brothers and sisters in the church, you serve the spiritual parents, and you serve the body of Christ at large, right? So whether, I mean, our service looks different. You know, me sitting here doing what I'm doing now, I am serving the body of Christ. When I go to church on a Sunday, when I go to church on Tuesday, when I go to church on Thursday, yes, that's how many times I go to church in a week. My whole family, my husband, my child, well, my child Thursdays, he goes to his grandma. But, you know, we are there, and sometimes we're packing chairs, you know. We're helping set up audio. I'm part of the media team. So I'm serving the church. I'm serving my spiritual parents by building their local house and the house that I'm a part of. So we have a responsibility, if we say we're faithful, to serve the church. And does that make sense? If you're saying you're faithful but you don't serve, or you don't want to serve in a church, you only want to serve on YouTube, that's a problem, because it's giving a problem with humility, because you don't want to go and submit to a man when this is something that God has ordained, right? So we'll talk about spiritual covering, and we'll speak about the importance of having a spiritual father or a spiritual mother, you know, and being a part of a local house. I'll do a separate video on that, but it's so important, guys. I always talk about it. It is so important. Okay, last one. How do I know I'm a faithful servant? Your unchanging commitment to God. You suffer long, you tolerate the hardships that come with being a Christian because you understand that there is no better place to be than in God. Right? You have unchanging commitment, and you are so sold out to the concept of God and to God himself, that you're like, you know what, life may suck, things may be hard, but I am committed to this Jesus. Right? So that's how you know your faith. I think I gave you about 4 points. I hope you wrote them down and you use them as a measuring stick. Where do I stand here? Okay? Where do I stand on these things? We need to just look through that and see. Okay? So that is the faithful servant. I gave you a breakdown on how to be a faithful servant as shown to us in the book of Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to end it off here, because next week I'm going to come back and we're going to talk about the evil servant. Okay, so I want to give you time to digest all of this information. I don't want to bombard you with information and then you do nothing with it. I'd rather give you a short amount of, you know, time in a video, but a lot of information for you to digest and to introspect with, right? So that is what we have come to in terms of dealing with the faithful servant, okay? I don't know where you stand, but this is why I made this video and last week's video, so you can introspect and see where do you stand. And if you feel like, listen, maybe I'm not there by the faithful servant. What? Maybe I'm an evil servant. Maybe I'm an ignorant servant. You're going to need to come back. Come back next week. We'll be talking about the evil servant and the ignorant servant. And once I've finished the series, you can then sit down and evaluate, where do I stand? And as we go through it, you should be praying, Holy Spirit, show me where do I stand? Show me who I am so that I can either repent or I can do, you know, continue doing the right things that I'm doing to maintain my stand as a faithful servant. And if you're an ignorant servant, ask God to show you. Holy Spirit, am I ignorant? Do I think I know, but I don't really know? You know, because the Bible says that my people are perishing because of a lack of knowledge. And a lack of knowledge is just ignorance. And funny enough, we have people in the church who are ignorant. They go to church every Sunday, but they're ignorant. They lack knowledge in the things of God. They lack knowledge of God himself. So we need to be a people who are praying, God, am I ignorant? Am I coming to church, but I have no idea what's going on? Because the devil is happy with that. He's happy with you going up and down, wasting your time, going to church, but nothing's changing in your life. That is a clear display of ignorance. That you will sit in church, someone will preach, but nothing changes in your life. Ignorance, lack of knowledge, lack of commitment and relationship with God. So I think we need to just meditate on what I've said in this video. And then next week I'll come back and we'll talk about what we're going to talk about. Okay? Thank you so much for taking the time to sit and listen to me. I hope that this video edifies you. Yeah, man. You know, again, I have currently launched my website. I will put the link in the description box. In my website, I have got a devotion that you can purchase. I collated some scriptures that speak about diligence, that speak about, you know, just faithfulness to God, and that speak about discipline. And I put them as 25 cards, they're printables. So you can purchase them on the website as well. My devotion, the 15-day devotion, is on there. And soon I'm going to be dropping a 30-day devotional as well on the website. So please do go to my website, do sign up so that you can get my blog. Because I'm also blogging on the website, exclusive content, baby. Exclusive content. So please do go check out my website, it'll be in the description box below. And yeah, man, please continue to comment, continue to like. And if you are, you know, if you're enjoying and you're edified by my content, please do subscribe if you find this content to be edifying to you and you like my channel and you think that it's worth having. Please subscribe. I also want to say thank you to the people who give me super thanks. So there's like a super thanks button at the bottom and they click it and they actually donate about, I think it's $70. And they're basically saying thank you, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys who also watch the ads. Because when you watch the ads, you know, the money grows. It's still money, but you know, it does something. So I'm really grateful that you take the time to watch the ads and that there's something happening. It shows that you support my ministry. It shows that you are finding value in what I'm doing, and I'm very grateful for that. But for now, I think that's all I have, and I cannot wait to talk to you guys again next week. But till then, peace.